Welcome to Drunk Bible Study. This show's mission is to read every single word of the greatest story ever told. A warning to our listeners, the hosts of this show are sinners, but they're doing their best. There will be drinking and there may be some swears. They did say they'd try to keep it clean, but I wouldn't put my money on it.
I'm Emily, and this is Drunk Bible Study, where my good friends Dedeker and Jace teach me, a born and raised atheist, all about the Bible.
What a delivery.
Here we are.
Wow. Yeah, here we are.
The last book of Luke.
Exactly. I'm so excited. I'm so excited that Jesus has met his end today. Will meet his end today.
Are you
yet
drunk
again.
Already?
Very much.
It's true. Before we hit record, Emily was like, he's going to die today.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I haven't eaten very much and I've walked around New York and I'm in New York, everyone. And then I'm having like a sip of my drink. And yes, I'm drunk.
And yes, you are already drunk. Okay.
Right. Okay. A little bit. Not very much, but a little bit.
Sending us out on a high note. This is our last chapter where we have Ewan McGregor Jesus. So I need to really keep him treasured in my heart.
Of course you do.
It's a little bit sad. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You wore your red lipstick for him.
Just for him. Because unlike some Mary Magdalenes, I do know how to love him.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That is a sick burn right there. Sickest of burns. So gearing up to this moment, I'm not going to lie. Like, I feel like last week was a million years ago, and yet it was only a week ago. What happened? What happened?
It's our lead up to the crucifixion. So that they got him. We had our last supper.
Okay, they got him. They got him. Oh, yeah, the last supper and the kisses. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about kissing.
Yes. Right.
Kisses for Christmas. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, but we did the last supper and this time around, we got more of like the verses that are often read during Mass. Or communion, like the actual wording of it seemed, at least to me, more similar to what I was used to hearing in churches.
This is my blood, and this is my body, and...
Yeah. Right, do this in remembrance of me, that whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
I think that's...
And then there he is.
It. We had the thing where... Right, well, they had the Last Supper where it was just like they kind of followed a guy into his house and were like, hey, where's the guest room? We're going to have our Last Supper here. And he's like, okay, sure.
He's like, who are you?
And there was the moment where after Jesus got that they were all hanging out in the courtyard and Peter, Simon Peter did his whole denying him three times. And then suddenly Jesus, I guess, was there and just like...
Gave him a look. Yeah.
Gave him a look. Gave him a piercing look.
He did. I love that.
I forgot about that.
A big old look.
And and Emily identified that Ewan McGregor would be really good at that moment.
Oh, for sure. It would be a beautiful moment.
Mm-hmm.
There was this movie that Ewan McGregor and Eva Green, who is one of my favorite actresses, / I have the biggest crush on her ever. They were in this movie together that was about the seven senses? The five senses. Slowly going away. Like, there is a plague that happened. Yeah. You watched it with me, Jace.
That movie was so upsetting.
It was. It basically, like, the five senses all start to completely deteriorate and go away, and that's the plague in all humans.
Boy.
And it's...
God, okay, as much as I love Ewan McGregor, I don't want to watch that film. That sounds like a little too much.
No, it's an incredible movie. It's an incredible movie, but I feel like right now, like Jesus's sense of, I don't know what it is, maybe... His sense of smell is going away.
What?
So you're just doing like a mashup of these movies for no reason?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of Ewan. That's what's happening right now. It just reminded me of him.
I just don't know if I'm ready to... I don't know if any of us are going to be ready to dive into anything that has to do with a pandemic or an epidemic anytime soon. Sure. It's too soon.
That's true. We did watch this before those times.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal. Yes, it was before. I know. And also, I'm rewatching The Last of Us, and that's really upsetting too after going through a pandemic.
Yeah. Really?
Phenomenal, but really upsetting. Huh. Just because it's too close, it's too soon. But, anyways, Jesus, we're back to him. Are you two drinking?
Boy, oh boy. Okay, I'm having a nice sort of rum, orangey, mango-y, gingery kind of cocktail with two decimated limes.
Oh, that's inside what that is. I was like, is that a cucumber? No, is that an entire cucumber in there?
No, we got the world's least juicy limes, and so I've really had to
So you were just like, I'm throwing them in. I'm throwing them in.
Mm-hmm. More and more slices of it to try to make up for the lack of juiciness. Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Jess?
So I'm drinking, I'll tell you first what it tastes like. And it's as if I had a campfire, a bunch of wood, and I put it out. I smothered it, and then I just stuck my face in it.
Did you put Palo Santo in
there?
That's
where I live now. It's a little bit like drinking what Palo Santo smells like when you burn it. Yeah, actually, it is a bit like that.
Okay.
This is, what's it called, Dedeker? I want to call it Dos Camarones, but it's not that.
No, it's 400 conejos.
Right, that's the one. Not two shrimps.
The 400 rabbits. Yeah.
400 not rabbits, not two shrimp.
What? Okay.
But yeah, it's a mezcal.
Okay, I was like, is it
it's
mezcal?
It's just super, super smoky mezcal, yeah.
And it's just mezcal and ice.
And some lime. I mean, I also have a decimated lime slice in here. You can't really see it through my fancy pretty glass.
That should be the name of this
episode.
Oh my God, Emily.
I'm so sorry.
Have some nuts.
How many drinks have you had?
Get a rice cake.
I know. I'm sorry. I did a really big workout this morning. Then I had like a small meal. And then I went walking. And then I'm looking at apartments in LA or in New York.
Well, Emily, we are worried about you. This is an intervention.
I know, I'm worried about me too. I need to get some food is basically what's happening.
Yes.
But I'm having a spicy margarita. I thought for Jesus' death, his third death that he has had on this show, a spicy margarita would be good.
Yeah.
So I'm having it.
Okay. Send him out on a spicy note.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's very tasty.
Oh, wow. Indeed. All right, everybody.
Okay.
I would like you to really take it in and enjoy this music because this is the last time we're getting to play
leftover
Christmas music.
It's the end of Christmas, which is sad to me because it's the end of our Asian time together, at least for this year.
Yeah.
Right. And last year.
Yeah.
So after today, the Christmas season is officially over.
I know, that's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Sad, but
play
true.
It one more You're time. Right. Play it one more time, Jace.
Okay, all right, here we go. This is it. Okay, goodness. Yes, today we are reading the final two chapters of the book of Luke. And then who knows what will happen, right? This is where we get to see if Jesus manages to swap out for his brother and move to Japan and get married and have children out there, or if he ends up dying this time, we will see. Remember that, Emily, from the Japanese Jesus legend that we learned about?
I do. How amazing.
So this is his chance to pull off that plan. We will see if that's there. Maybe we can plant some little Easter eggs about that in the DBS Plus version of this that we do. With our all-star cast.
Yes.
Alrighty, today we are continuing on with the book of Luke, chapters 23 and 24. As we get started, we want to remind everyone to read responsibly and drink responsibly.
You can drink along with us, or you can listen to us while you're in the car.
But please do not do both at the same time.
And with that, it's time for Luke 23. The whole company of them rose up and brought him before Pilate.
Oh, Pilate's back. The most Pontius.
The Pontius one is back.
Yeah, and I believe...
I'm sorry, what does Pontius mean?
That's a good question. I think Pontius is the name and Pilate is the game.
I thought you would know that immediately.
And by game, I mean the title.
What?
Okay. Yes. Pontius Pilate, or Pontius name meaning. Let's see what we find here. It means God of the Sea.
Oh. What?
It's a Greek name. It's a Greek name, which makes sense that that's kind of part of the story here.
Does it make sense?
Well, he's like an officer for the Greeks who are in charge of shit.
No, he's not.
Here,
for
right?
The Romans. The Romans, Jace. The Romans.
Yeah, wait, Jace, are you? We're in a different
But the Romans
place.
And the Greeks at this point in time are basically the same
No,
thing.
Jace.
What? What's happening?
Every history major in the world just shat themselves. Just knowing.
Good.
Just
Sorry
knowing.
To hear that.
They felt it in the force. And yes, for people in the chat, we cast Bob Odenkirk as Pontius Pilate.
Great, right. Great casting right there.
Yeah, yeah. Really good. Well, it's interesting because it means God of the Sea, which we learned before, like Yahweh may have originally been a sea god, actually, before he became the Jewish god of everything.
Fascinating.
Wow. Like his original like Canaanite roots was actually also a sea god, so that's fun.
Cool.
It's fun. Like the sea and fertility and stuff like that, so that's cool. It's fun.
Yeah.
Where was I?
I don't know.
Yes. We've done one verse. Good. The whole company of them rose up and brought him before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting the nation, forbidding paying taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king."
I mean, yeah. He has done that.
Yeah. Yeah. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "So you say." Pilate, that was me doing my Ewan McGregor kind of smarmy voice a little bit there. Yeah.
Isn't he Irish?
He's Scottish. No, he's Scottish. Huh.
He's Scottish?
Yes.
Oh.
Right.
Are you disappointed by that?
No. I mean, that's also hot.
Okay, great. Pilate said to the chief priests and the multitudes, "I find no basis for charge against this man." But they insisted, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee even to this place." But when Pilate heard Galilee mentioned, he asked if the man was a Galilean. When he found out that he was in Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod.
Ooh.
This is a different...
So Pilate is just... Wow. As soon as he can...
Pilate, like, sent him away.
Yeah. But I love that his ears are perked. He's just, like, ready. Oh, Galilee? Oh, okay. Oh, not my office, buddy. Not my department.
My problem. Bye.
I would love to take on this case. I'm so... Like, I really want to help you, but I just... Oh, my hands are tied.
I don't care. Bye.
Okay, so when he found out that he was in Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days.
Mm.
Oh, so he happened to be in town, I guess. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had wanted to see him for a long time because he'd heard many things about him.
He's like, rad.
He hoped to see...
So rad.
He hoped to see some miracle done by him. All right.
All right.
He questioned
I bet
him.
He was excited about him. He's like, "Give me a miracle, bro."
Yeah, I've been hearing cool shit.
At least an autograph.
Yeah.
Yeah. He questioned him with many words, but he gave no answers.
Oh, dang.
Luke suddenly got all poetic here. Mm-hmm. The chief priests and the scribes stood vehemently accusing him. Herod, with his soldiers, humiliated him and mocked him. Dressing him in luxurious clothing, they sent him back to Pilate.
Oh.
This is a different order of events than we've had before.
Wow, this is a lot.
Yeah. So it usually wasn't until they like sentenced him that then we get the thing about the soldiers dressing him up and putting the crown of thorns on him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So they dress him up in luxurious clothing and then sent him back to Pilate. I'm not sure how they worked that out with the jurisdictions and are kind of like, oh, actually there's some loophole. It's because he... has become a permanent resident of Jerusalem, and so therefore he's actually in your jurisdiction or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day.
Wait, what?
Well, that's...
Does that literally say that?
This is the story we've never heard about before.
What? I've never gotten this story before.
Wow. What? They're the best of friends. OMG. Oh my God, you guys.
Spinoff series.
They're such good friends.
Oh my gosh, you're right. That would be really good.
What? I never got this part of the story about how they became a bromance.
Because it was inconsequential. Nobody cares.
Yeah, but, okay,
I care.
But we could care if we did a spinoff show. So Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. For before that, they were enemies with each other.
Yeah.
Oh.
Enemies to lovers. It's like a classic trope.
It's a classic trope. Classic. Yeah.
No, they bonded over this. They're just like, ugh, just like criminal justice, right?
Jesus.
Like, ugh, I know, right? Ugh. Yes. So I'm always getting people sent to me and I don't know what to do. Me too. Like, hey, like
we have a lot more in common than I realized.
You want to go get a bowl of wine?
A bowl?
We should have a bowl of wine. I can never finish one of those on my own. Oh, I can never finish one. Let's share one.
Yeah, why don't we do it together?
I love that. Yeah. This is really cute. I love it. Okay.
I love it.
It's a good little buddy movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, buddy film.
Okay, Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought this man to me as one that perverts the people. And see, I have examined him before you and found no basis for a charge against this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. Neither has Herod, my very good friend. Yeah.
The love of my life.
Neither has Herod, for I sent you to him, and see, nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will, therefore, chastise him and release him."
Are they talking about Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, Herod and I, we got a thing to get to, you know. I got to wrap this up.
But that didn't happen.
Right, yeah. But, okay, so he said, "Therefore, I will chastise him and release him." Now...
Okay,
hold on. Really quick.
Now.
Really quick. Okay, yes. Now...
Okay,
have we cast
yes.
Herod? Mm. I don't know if we...
This Herod.
Okay.
Did
Ted
we
Danson.
Cast him in this?
Ooh, Ted Danson and Bob Odenkirk? I could see it.
But did we cast Ted Danson as the previous Herod or this Herod?
I think that all
Ooh,
of
that's
the
a good question.
No, they haven't changed.
They have changed.
Have they?
There's the Herod that put out the hit on all the firstborn sons because he was afraid of Jesus.
That's this.
This is now a new Herod.
It's okay. I really want Ted Danson and Bob Odenkirk to do a thing together.
Okay.
That's adorable.
I want it to happen. Yeah. It's adorable. They'll be great.
Yeah, no, you're right.
They'd play off each other. It'd be fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If we need to recast the other Herod, we can do that. That's fine. He's a smaller part.
Okay. Wait.
We should save Ted Danson.
Okay.
Because it is a different Herod. This guy's a different guy than the one
before. There are two. Okay. Yeah. You're saying that there are two. There were two Herods, right? There was Herod 1
I mean.
And Herod
A. Herod 1 and Herod A. Yes, exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So let's see here. Now, he had to release one prisoner to them at the feast. But they all cried out together, saying, "Away with this man, release to us Barabbas."
Who? Barabbas.
"One who was thrown into prison for a certain revolt in the city and for murder."
Whoa.
That's a detail we didn't get before, I don't think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, Barabbas.
Then Pilate spoke to them again, wanting to release Jesus. He's like, "But this guy." But they shouted, saying, "Crucify! Crucify him!"
Maybe they're just like an angry mob and they don't even know who they're dealing with right now.
I think that's the vibe. Clearly.
That's what I mean, yes, that is the vibe, but it's the way that it's talked about is like, these people hated Jesus and then they crucified him. But it's kind of just like, who's that guy? Yeah, whatever. Crucify him. Yeah. Like they don't even know who he is.
They're just bloodthirsty for anyone. I see.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
See. Yeah. Because the other two gospels we've read so far, I think both of those made some mention of the Pharisees like being in the crowd trying to like prompt people to cheer, like wanting Barabbas instead of Jesus and like spreading rumors about Jesus, like kind of doing more of a like a social media smear campaign against him
rather than
there's nothing they can actually convict him of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they went that route instead, sort of mob justice. But this one doesn't make any mention of that. This one's just like, yeah, that's what the people want.
Yeah.
Okay, so he said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has this man done?
Seriously.
I have found no capital crime in him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." But they were urgent with loud voices, asking that he might be crucified.
Whoa.
Their voices and the voices of the chief priests prevailed. Pilate decreed that what they asked for should be done. He released him.
He's too distracted by his new friendship.
He loves him. He's like, yeah, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. He released him, who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they had asked. But he delivered Jesus up to their will.
That seems like a bad trade.
When they led him away, they grabbed one Simon of Cyrene, coming from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it after Jesus.
Wait, another Simon Peter?
Well, not a Peter, just a Simon
of Cyrene.
Okay.
Yeah.
Only a Simon, yes.
So they just grabbed this guy.
Wow.
Make him carry a cross. A great multitude of people followed him, including women. I wish there were a period after that.
Many women.
A great multitude of people followed him, including women who also mourned and lamented him.
Okay.
But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me.
Argentina.
But weep for yourselves and your children."
Oh. Whoa.
Yeah. "For behold, the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.'"
Dang.
Goodness.
"Then they will begin to tell the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and tell the hills, 'Cover us.'
Okay,
for if they
down,
do
Jesus.
These things in the green tree, what will be done in the dry?"
Listen.
I don't know. I don't know what he's even saying.
You can chill out. You can chill out a little bit. Just a little bit.
Could we consult the message on that one?
Mm, yeah.
These green trees and dry trees. And
green trees and also dry trees.
Hills falling and covering. I need some help.
Yeah. Oof. Okay. Here's what the message says about this. So they're crying after Jesus. And I love how he starts this. Like he's telling them, like, "Don't cry. It'll be fine." He's like, "Don't cry for me.
Argentina.
And for yourself and for your children. The time is coming when they'll say, 'Lucky the women who never conceived. Lucky the wombs that never gave birth. Lucky the breasts that never gave milk.'"
I mean, yeah.
"Then they'll start calling to the mountains, 'Fall down on us.' Calling to the hills, 'Cover us up.' If people do these things to a live green tree, can you imagine what they'll do with dead wood?" He just stuck with the metaphor.
Oh,
he didn't
that's
even
a really
know.
Good HBO show.
Deadwood?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's good.
Yeah.
Now it's me.
That's you.
Oh, okay.
Do now it. I'm reading. "There were also others, two criminals, led with him to be put to death."
These guys too.
These guys,
these friends. "When they came to the place..."
They were
in
the Mel Gibson movie.
They were?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty canonical to have the
were
two
they,
other dudes.
Were they in every single version of the story that we've had though?
I think they were only in one of the other two.
That's what I'm saying.
But don't quote me on that.
Okay.
Yeah. But they're in Life of Brian as well. So.
Oh, okay. Good. Good.
Which we'll watch probably after we do John. After we've done all the Gospels.
I can't wait. I'm excited.
We'll do it.
Then I think we should do Life of Brian. Because I think you need.
Anytime. Yeah. Let's do it.
You need all the context. You need to get all the jokes.
Got it. All the context. Okay.
Most people, I think, are very familiar with a lot of stuff from John. And so I think watching it without that, you'll still be missing some stuff.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Why is John... Everyone is like, "John is my favorite." All of the people I ask were like, "Who's your favorite gospel?" They're like, "John, of course."
I think we'll have to read it and see. And then you'll make that judgment.
Does it editorialize?
It's interesting because I think every actual Bible scholar and theologian I've talked to, John is never their answer.
What is their answer?
Of their favorite gospel or their favorite book?
Of their favorite gospel, specifically.
Hmm. Gospel.
Of the gospels,
is it like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke, Matthew, Mark.
I think Mark tends to be a hit because...
Why? Because it's so brief?
Well, it tends to be believed to be the actual earliest one that both Matthew and Luke quote from. So I think that that's one of the reasons.
Okay.
Anyway. We can talk to some theologians about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Here I go. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified him there with the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Mm. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing.
It's true.
Dividing his garments among them, they cast lots. The people stood watching. The rulers with them also scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. An inscription was also written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews.
Can I just ask myself in this moment, why did I watch Passion of the Christ?
That's a good question. Why did you watch Passion of the Christ? Because I had an excuse, which is that I was still in the Christian church and everyone was just frothing at the mouth to go see this film. But why did you go see it?
But that was the thing. Because I knew people were frothing at the mouth and I was interested. And I watched it because I was like, this is the moment. This is the hot thing of the moment. Mm-hmm. But it was really gross.
Yeah.
And I never want to see it again.
It was like weird Christian torture porn.
Seriously, yeah. It really was. It wasn't a good film. Mm. I'm sorry, but I have to say it. It wasn't a good film.
I still haven't seen
it. Sorry, Mel Gibson.
I still haven't seen it and probably never will.
You probably don't have to.
Yeah.
No, you definitely don't have to. I can't believe your mom like had a lot of people come to see it.
My mom?
Is that what happened? Or your church?
It was my church. Yeah. It may have been a screening that they bought out. That's quite possible. Yeah.
Oh, but at a theater. Okay.
At a theater, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I saw it in theater too.
Yeah.
Woof.
One of the criminals who was hanged insulted him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuking him said, Don't you even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, I appreciate Jesus received that. I like to think that this is like the one guy in the audience that actually like watched the trial on C-SPAN and everyone else just followed whoever was tweeting about it.
Like, right, everyone just read the headlines. Like,
and Twitter's some bullshit, let me tell you.
Right. It's like the one guy who actually paid attention was like, yeah, no, they kept saying he was innocent. Like everyone came back with like, he didn't do anything. This sucks that we're doing this.
Yeah. This is the first version of the story where we've gotten the like one was bad and one was good of the two criminals.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was now about the sixth hour and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened.
For context here, Eugene is clarifying that the sixth hour means noon and that the ninth hour is sunset, I guess, or...
See, in this translation, it says the ninth hour was 3 p.m.
Mm. Okay, yeah, all right, sure. So noon to 3 p.m. is when this happened. Okay, yes. Cool.
The sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Dramatic.
Right.
Oh, gracious.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last.
Oh, wait.
When the centurion...
Wait, he never did the like... What is it? What did he say?
What is it, Emily?
What did he say? He was pissed.
What? Wait.
What did you... What's your recollection?
No, then I was thinking of back in Job, what he said. He was like, I get rid of you in some way. But I forget what the word is.
Huh. I get rid of you in some way?
Or he was pissed.
Are you thinking of him saying, My God, why have you forsaken me?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. But he didn't say it here.
He didn't say it here. You're right.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
He was just like, God, I get it. It's fine. We're gonna have a time together. And then I'm gonna die and it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did he say that in both of the other gospels we read or just in one of them?
I think he said it in at least one.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
When the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. all the multitudes that came together to see this, when they saw the things that were done, returned home, beating their breasts. Mm. All his acquaintances and the women who followed with him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Behold, a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, in parentheses.
Different Joseph?
A different Joseph, in parentheses. He had not consented to their counsel and deed.
Okay.
From Arimathea. Okay, hold on. There's like so many commas,
so
doing parenthetical
so
phrases here. Okay, let me read this whole sentence all together. Behold, a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their counsel indeed, from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was also waiting for the kingdom of God, this man went to Pilate and asked for Jesus's body, period.
Is this Tom Cruise?
No, where'd you get Tom Cruise from? Tom Cruise is just the naked running man.
Is the running boy?
Yes.
Okay, he's not the boy that took... I thought that somehow they were conflated, but maybe not.
No. So this is interesting that this Joseph of Arimathea, they're like, he was in a position of power, but he did not agree with what was going on here. That's what I'm gathering.
Okay.
Yeah. He was like the one dissenting justice on the Supreme Court kind of a thing.
Oh, the one.
Yes. He took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb that was cut in stone where no one had ever been laid.
Ever.
Wow.
It was the day of the preparation and the Sabbath was drawing near. The women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. They returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment.
Of course.
And that's the end of the chapter.
Wow. Woof.
Mm-hmm. So I keep waiting for it to come up, but I remember there being a thing I learned about... Gosh, probably in like elementary school.
About what?
About the crucifixion and like how long it normally took a person to die when they're crucified. And
what?
This makes it sound like Jesus died very early.
In elementary school?
My understanding is that's not normal. Yeah, no, this messed up what people teach little kids when it comes to Christian shit. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Super messed up. Yeah. Because it's in the Bible, so you get all kinds of gruesome details. Yeah. I remember being taught that too. Like all the very specific details about crucifixion and what would happen to your body and, how long it would take you to die.
Sorry, but that's effed up.
It's because...
Yeah. For a little child.
I mean, something that's baked into a lot of Christianity is almost kind of fetishizing the suffering and pain of Christ.
I mean,
I've gotten that
from the whole thing.
Yeah.
I've gotten that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting though, because I feel like the Bible doesn't really do that actually. Like the Bible doesn't spend a lot of time on that part of it. It's like a lot more time on him kind of being angry and frustrated leading up to it.
Totally.
But like we don't really dwell on it too much, but it's like the Christians in the couple thousand years since then have like really leaned hard into...
Well...
The suffering part. Like, how can we blow that up into the whole story?
When I was in Hong Kong, I went on this really incredible hike, but I think I remember texting the two of you about the fact that there were these Catholic, like...
The Stations of the Cross?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That were happening during that hike that because we were leading up to this monastery, which was also incredible, but... Mm-hmm. But that there were these Stations of the Cross. And that, again, is talking about his suffering, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The suffering of the Jesus. And I don't know. I found that really interesting because, again, it is just talking about how much he went through in this moment. But there's so much more to the story.
Yeah.
That's more interesting than just that moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love, I'm interested in that moment because it's the action. But I don't know. There's a lot more to it that you have to think about. And why are we so focused on just that and just the suffering?
Mm. Yeah.
What's happening there?
There's a lot of good questions, Emily. These can go in your sermons for sure once you start a church. Keep coming back to that.
Why is it that we care so much about the suffering?
Children.
No, I'm kidding. That just seems like something that people would say. Okay, anyways.
Sure.
Keep going.
That's it. That's the end of this
chapter. Yeah, that's time for a break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. How do we even take a break on this show? I think what we do is...
You're the one who does it. Yeah. You should know.
Yeah. We tell our listeners to eat of this bread and drink of this wine.
I want a piece of bread.
In remembrance of us. And most importantly, when two or more are gathered together to listen to Drunk Bible Study, you're cooler.
Yeah.
I think that's the real lesson here. And so, tell your friends about it. And come join us for the live shows. If you have some friends that might be interested in the show, after we finish this episode, could be a good time. Maybe they're one of those people that says John is their favorite book, and you could bring them along to the live shows to listen to the Book of John. To be honest, if your friend says that, I mean, you know, maybe do a little bit of prep work to kind of make sure they'll enjoy themselves and still be your friend listening to this show. But if you think they'd go for it, do it. I think that sounds great. And then, of course, if you want to really go the extra mile and become the coolest person in your city, you can become a patron of this show at patreon.com/drunkbiblestudy. And becoming a parishioner there, in addition to making you the coolest person in your city, also gets you access to early releases of episodes, personal toasts on the show, and Emily's drink recipes.
And we're back. And this Go Macro bar is incredible. Oh my God.
Good.
It's what
good.
An endorsement.
What? Okay. Heartwarming retreat. Mom, try this one. It's amazing. It's a delight. You got to try it. Okay. Where were we? Okay.
Gosh.
Okay, we're going. Okay, 24. We're going to bring her home.
Okay, Emily, finish. You can finish eating first. We can riff for time while you chew.
Was the flavor of that protein bar heartwarming retreat?
That's what it was called? Oatmeal chocolate chip.
Heartwarming retreat.
Heartwarming retreat.
All right, here we go. So, 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they and some others came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. They found the stone. We didn't even talk about the stone this time.
You're right.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird.
Maybe that's just so normal that everyone would assume there's a stone. It's like, how why would you not have a stone? Come on.
Were you raised in a barn?
Yeah, right?
But I bet they didn't do this for everyone. I bet they threw the random other people like in a ditch or something and that was it. Huh. No?
Maybe.
I don't know. That's a good question.
They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They entered in and they didn't find the Lord Jesus's body. It happened while they were greatly perplexed about this. Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling clothing. Becoming terrified.
There's two dudes this time.
Yeah.
Two.
Super like cool. Last time, I think it was just one. One youth in white or angel in white or something. Or was it two?
Two dudes.
I get confused. It all gets mixed up.
It was definitely only one in one of the books, I thought.
Really?
Hmm.
Huh. Well, I don't know. Two dudes in dazzling clothing. Becoming terrified, they bowed their faces down to the earth. They said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He isn't here, but is risen. Remember what he told you when he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered up to the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again."
Okay.
They remembered his words. Yeah?
I just imagined that at this moment, like, think if you didn't know anything about this story, right? And this were a surprise for you. Like, if you're watching this for the first time on DBS and somehow were raised in a cave where you never learned any of these stories before.
Uh-huh.
I'm imagining that this is sort of that, like, rug pull reveal type thing, like in Fight Club or the Sixth Sense or, like, some movie where it's, like, suddenly you look back and go, oh, shit. So this is where we would play all these flashbacks of all these moments. It's like, okay. Oh, I should have noticed. I should have seen it coming beforehand. It'll be great in the DBS Plus version.
I love that. Here's
and the
montage.
One person who somehow hasn't heard this story before will be like, oh my God, amazing. And everyone else will be like, why did they make such a big deal of that moment? Like, we all saw it coming.
Yeah, that's what's happening. They remembered his words, returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now, they were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Who the hell is Joanna? Joanna.
No idea. There she is.
There she is.
Little Joanna.
Feel you, Joanna.
Yeah.
Okay. These words seemed to them to be nonsense, but they didn't stop believing them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he departed to his home, wondering what had happened.
Oh.
Behold, two of them
Head is just spinning because this is a different telling, right? This is a very different order of events.
It is. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. Behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 60 stadia? 60 stadia equals about 11 kilometers or about 7 miles, okay, from Jerusalem.
Got it. Can I read you Tyndale's version of that?
Sure.
And beholdy, two of them went that same day to a town which was fro Jerusalem about 64 longis called...
longis?
Called Emmaus.
Emmaus. Oh, okay. Emmaus. That's the name of the town. Yes. Okay. Yes. Scored 3 longis. So
64 longis.
64 longis. That's okay. What I said.
So many longis. They talked with each other about all of these things which had happened. It happened while they talked and questioned together that Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept. I know, that's awkward. He just like starts walking with them. And they're like, who the F is this dude? And then it's Jesus. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, what are you talking about as you walk and are sad? One of them named
Cleopas. I don't know why that's really funny to me.
What are you talking about?
What are you doing? Just walking and being sad.
Yeah. One of them named Cleopas answered him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things which have happened there in these days? He said to them, what things? They said to him, the things concerning Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who would redeem Israel. Yes, all and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Also, certain women of our company amazed us, having arrived early at the tomb. And when they didn't find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of us went to the tomb and found
it. I love how much detail they're going into, like telling this person the whole story. And it's just, and it's Ewan McGregor sitting there being like, wow, fascinating.
He's in his undercover boss disguise. Right.
Yeah, apparently.
Right, right.
Also, certain women of our company amazed us having arrived early at the tomb. And when they didn't find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of us went to the tomb and found it just like the women had said, but they didn't see him. He said to them, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Christ have to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. They drew near to the village where they were going, and he acted like he would go further. They urged him, saying,
he was like, cool, see ya, I'm gonna keep going.
And they're like, what? They drew near to the village where they were going, and he acted like they would go further. They urged him, saying, stay with us, for it is almost evening and the day is almost over. He went in to stay with them. Okay, so I guess he was like, fine, whatever. It happened that when he had sat down at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks. Breaking it, he gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight.
Wow, what? That was fast.
Wait, okay. That's amazing. I love
freaking
that.
Magic that trick right here.
He's just this stranger to them, right? But they just happen to be like, no, come have dinner with us. It's late. And then when he does the breaking bread, it's like that's the breaks the spell, right? And they recognize him. And then
and everyone's
smoke
like,
bomb and he God disappears.
Was one of us.
Right. Ooh, that's what they right start singing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love this is really good. Okay, that'll be in the movie version that we do for DBS Plus, yeah, where that then it's like you'll be watching him, he'll disappear, right? And then it'll be like a slow motion, kind of slow pan over to the faces of the other people while the music starts playing in the background. And then just like everyone's sitting perfectly still and they all start singing, "What if God was one of us?"
Oh my God. You're really weird, man.
It's real conceptual. Yeah.
It is real conceptual. Okay, so their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished out of their sight. They said to one another, "Weren't our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us along the way? And while he opened the scriptures to us?" They rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathering together and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon."
I guess Simon was there.
Like, What?
Yeah, which
what
Simon?
What are you talking about? I don't know.
I guess Simon Peter, Simon.
Okay, probably.
They related, yeah. I mean, probably. They related the things that had happened along the way and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread.
Mm. Maybe he has a very, like,
very
particular
weird
way of breaking bread. And they see it and they're like, wait.
And they're like, OMG.
He breaks it over his head or something. Or his knee.
Right.
It's Jeebs. As they said these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with
Whoa.
You.
Oh, snap.
That's so good. Oh, that's so good.
That was a freaking Chris Amazing. Angel moment.
Oh, that was really good.
But they were terrified and filled with fear and supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is truly me. Touch me and see, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still didn't believe for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Do you have anything here to eat?"
He's like, I was trying to eat with these guys earlier, and then they recognized me, and I had to disappear, and I couldn't take the bread with me, and I'm really hungry. I'm like Emily right now. Do you have a heartwarming retreat bar by any chance?
Indeed. They gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb.
What a weird combination. That's like a Zelda combination.
It is.
It's going to make some dubious food if I'm young. Indeed. He took them and ate in front of them. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you, that all the things which are written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me must be fulfilled." And he opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures.
Whoa.
I love this.
What was in that broiled fish?
I know.
Okay, y'all.
This is crazy, by the way. This is a lot different than all of the others.
It's true because our past two gospels have basically ended after he's resurrected.
Yeah, and then he's like, peace out, bitches. Yeah. And then
he ascends,
bounces.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But here he's doing a full comeback tour.
Yeah, he is.
No, I really like the idea that our movie version of Luke, you know, kind of goes along at sort of a normal pace,
yeah,
and it's fairly realistic for most of the movie. And then starting at that, "What if God was one of us" scene that I described, it becomes just like—
It was a collaborative effort,
the
yeah.
trippiest, weirdest shit you've ever seen, right? Like, you can't tell what's real, what's happening. He just like appears with them, eats this fish with honeycomb, and like then their minds start expanding, and there's like a long sequence of just like psychedelic visuals. It's gonna be—
I love it.
This is gonna be our real artsy film for this one.
Yeah, it's super artsy. I love it. Okay, where was I? So, okay, he opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures. He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send forth the promise of my Father on you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." He led them as far out as Bethany, And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It happened while he blessed them that he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising the blessed God. Amen.
Wow.
That was a, like, pretty good ending right there.
That was a really good ending. That was a
really
good ending.
Yeah, this Ewan McGregor Jesus that just needs to stick around long enough to get a snack for the road.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he needed a snack for sure.
But then also expands everyone's minds.
Expands their minds, does a couple magic tricks to really spook them. Yeah.
But then also, I like that this one, we're actually setting up the Pentecost, right? That we're, he's like, but he, all of you, hang out in Jerusalem for a bit until you get the powers. And they're like, wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
So, sorry, spoilers, Emily, but.
Yes.
Oh,
I think that this gospel in particular is kind of setting up something that's going to happen later in Acts, I think.
Acts.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. That's the
That's the one that happens after the gospels.
You're so
that's the first one after John.
Uh-huh.
Is the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's fun. I never realized that he kind of like teased that. It's like this one's so good, right? Because he's teasing the sequel, right? So then that movie, you know, you're like, oh, that's what he was
talking that was like
about.
His little post-credits tag. Was about how...
Nice. Okay.
Oh, shit.
What?
John Dolph the mic.
What?
Just says, Luke is traditionally said to be written by the same author who wrote Acts.
Oh!
So Acts is like Luke part two. Luke 2, colon, Acts. Colon.
The act of Jeebus.
Colon.
Has happened.
Apostles got a brand new bag. I think that's...
Okay. All right. All right.
That's my working title right now.
I can do
Amazing.
It. I can do it. Okay. But you know what's also exciting?
What?
Is we have a toast.
Oh!
Yes.
Do we really, though?
We do. We have a brand new parishioner.
Toast.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. I'm going to raise my glass to Amanda, our brandest, newest parishioner.
There we go.
Amanda, thank you so much for gracing us with your dollars, your support, your energy, your love.
Thank you,
you really
so much.
Help us to keep this going. So cheers to you. And
cheers.
Hopefully we can meet you at one of our live shows one of these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now here's the deal also. We have a roast.
What? A roast?
We have a roast.
Boy, first ever for DBS.
The first inaugural roast on DBS. Because what happened is Sam, lovely Sam, beloved Sam, beautiful Sam, who is often at our live shows, lapsed in her parishioner payments, apparently. Her parishioner tithing.
No.
I don't know for how long. Could have been for a decade, for all I know. She could have never been a parishioner, for all I know. And maybe this is just
God.
The excuse. But
I've
allegedly realized, oh no, I'm not a parishioner. And now I need to do a new pledge. And so
she did
we're giving a toasty roasty to Sammy Whammy. Our newest, but not really that newest parishioner.
I'm like,
can you play like the stinger backwards or something?
Yeah, I'm like frantically looking for like what sound I might have that I could play.
Okay, that was a little more jovial than I would like for a roast, but I'll take
it. Sure.
Yes. Yes. Sam, we will take your money twice any day of the week, really. Thank you so much for being a regular here at the live shows. Couldn't do it without you.
Wait a minute. Oh, shit.
What?
You know what we forgot about?
What? What do we forget?
It's the end of a book.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
We have to do a quee.
Oh, no.
Exactly. Oh, no.
Oh, we didn't prep for a quee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Let's wrap up this episode and then stick around for the quee. I can't even believe that snuck up on all of us.
I think we just kind of accidentally roasted ourselves.
I think that's definitely what happened.
Okay.
I'm going to do the outro and then
We're gonna.
Okay, here we go. All right, everyone.
All right.
Thank you for joining us for Bible Study today. If you want to join the audience in our live stream shows, follow us on Twitch at Drunk Bible Study or go to drunkbiblestudy.com/live. If you want even more Drunk Bible Study, including early releases, cocktail recipes, personal toasts on the show, and more, become one of our patrons at patreon.com/drunkbiblestudy. If you enjoyed the show, take a moment to subscribe and write us a nice review on iTunes. iTunes, letting other people know what you like about it. You can also join fellow listeners in the Drunk Bible Study Fans Fellowship Facebook group or on our Discord server at discord.drunkbiblestudy.com. Find us on Twitter at Drunk Bible Cast, on Instagram at Drunk Bible Study, or send us an email to info@drunkbiblestudy.com. Drunk Bible Study is created and produced by Jason Lindgren, Dedeker Winston, and me, Emily Matlack. Our theme song is Book Club by Josh and Anand from their album Home of the. For more information, visit us at drunkbiblestudy.com. You know.